This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:47, you're with Julian Ng and Joyce Goh, and coming up in about 15 minutes' time is The Breakfast Grill, and I will be speaking to Dato' Mohamed Nizam Sairi, Deputy CEO for Tax Operation at the Inland Revenue Board of Malaysia. And we know that with the introduction of new taxes like sugar and digital tax, as well as increased efforts to clamp down on tax avoiders, the IRB will be set for a very challenging 2019. So we speak to the Deputy CEO of Tax Operation, Dato' Mohamed Nizam Sairi, on how IRB plans to monitor individuals and unexplained extraordinary wealth, and how the agency will be working together with all these entities moving forward. So stay tuned for that coming up after the 8 a.m. news. And talking about the unexplained, big scoop this morning, Joyce, by the Wall Street Journal. It was reported that senior Chinese leaders had apparently offered to help bail out 1MDB in 2016.
Yeah, according to minutes from a series of previously undisclosed meetings reviewed by the Wall Street Journal, they said that the minutes show that Chinese officials told visiting Malaysians that China would use its influence to try to get the US and other countries to drop their probes into the allegations against then Prime Minister Dato' Sri Najib Razak and his involvement in 1MDB. Additionally, the Chinese had also offered to bug the home and offices of the Wall Street Journal reporters in Hong Kong who were investigating the fund. And I mean, Julian, reading
shock
the story,
and
I know. And they said that the Chinese had said that this is they offered to bug the homes and offices to learn who was leaking information to the journalists at the Wall Street Journal.
And of course, there is always a quid pro quo as far as the Chinese are concerned. Malaysia was to offer lucrative stakes in railway and pipeline projects. You may be familiar with some of these projects for China's One Belt, One Road program of building infrastructure. And within months, Prime Minister Najib signed $34 billion US of rail and pipeline deals with China state companies. And this was to be funded by Chinese banks as well as built by Chinese workers.
Yeah, so I mean, it is a signature initiative of building ports, railways, roads and pipelines in some 70 countries to generate trade and business for Chinese companies. This is the China's Belt and Road. And US officials have said that China is using this program to increase influence, you know, its influence over developing nations and to trap them in debt while advancing their military aims. So according to a person familiar with U.S. discussions, this is in the Wall Street Journal story, American national security officials regard the Chinese efforts in Malaysia as Beijing's most ambitious attempt to leverage the program for geostrategic gain.
Absolutely. And the report states that Najib was actually aware of the 2016 Malaysian-Chinese meetings. And of course, Joyce, the Chinese are known for what is called the checkbook diplomacy to gain influence around the region and around the world, a lot of times through very negative outcomes as well. Now, the documents also describe a plan proposed by Malaysian officials for Chinese state companies to build two large projects with funding from Chinese banks. These are the US $16 billion East Coast Railway Link, and the other one is the $2.5 billion Trans-Sabah Gas Pipeline.
Yeah, so the documents state that the projects are to provide above market profitability to the Chinese state companies, given that the rail link should only cost $7.25 billion to build. Instead, I think the price tag was about $16 billion. And how much the rail link should cost at $7.25 billion was according to an earlier estimate by a Malaysian consultancy. This was quoted in the Wall Street Journal story.
And more ominously is also Sun Lijun, who is the head of China's domestic security force, confirmed that China's government was now surveilling the Wall Street Journal's Hong Kong office at Malaysia's request. This includes full-scale residential office device tapping, computer, phone, web data retrieval, and full operational surveillance. This is really stuff for a movie to be made.
I know, it's so shocking. And Mr. Sun had added, I guess this is what they can see in a minute, that they will establish all the Malaysian links and sources that the WSJ Hong Kong has and will hand over the data to Malaysia through back channels once everything is ready.
And according to two other people familiar with the discussions, Najib has also embarked on secret talks with China's leadership to let Chinese Navy ships dock at two Malaysian ports. So national security is also at stake here.
But not sure whether or not the plan... I think the plans didn't take place on that discussions. But also, I guess, there were also notes on the discussion on September 22nd, 2016, which say that the both sides agreed to move ahead with the infrastructure deals, even though they may not have strong project financials. And the documents go on to say that participants in the project need not waste time studying the actual project financials to see if they can sustain the debt. As the Malaysian government backed the deals for strategic reasons. As I read it, I'm going, what? Yeah, well, this is a big scoop coming up from the Wall Street Journal.
Exactly. And Malaysia became the second biggest recipient of the One Belt, One Road initiative. In a few months, the Export-Import Bank of China had paid out about 80% of the $2.5 billion loans pledged to state-owned China Petroleum Pipeline Bureau to build the pipeline. And also, in related to the story, a lot of newspapers are carrying the story that 70 witnesses are to testify for the $6.6 billion CBT trial of Tan Sri Muhammad Irwan, who was the former Treasury Secretary General, as well as Najib.
Yeah, so Deputy Public Prosecutor Dato' Jamil Arifin has said that they have a total of 138 witnesses for the case, but will only call 70 of them. And as for the documents, the DPP has already submitted 70% of them, but have asked for more time as some are classified under the Official Secrets Act.
So just to go through the laundry list of the six counts of CBT, CBT of $1.2 billion and $655 million government property, which were entrusted to them, CBT of $222 million and $1.3 billion ringgit in property entrusted to them over in the Federal Consolidated Fund, and another CBT case of about 1.3 billion ringgit and 2 billion ringgit government property, which was entrusted to them as well.
Well, Julian, there's also news that former Goldman Sachs banker Roger Ng was just denied bail by the Sessions Court yesterday. So Judge M.M. Edwin Prajoti dismissed Ng's application, stating that Ng was a flight risk and that the interests of justice would be best served if Ng remains in custody, particularly given the nature and circumstance of the case and the offences that Roger Ng is charged with.
And this, of course, comes after Leonardo DiCaprio, the actor, secretly testified as part of the U.S. Justice Department's investigations into the 1MDB scandal about 3 days ago. Now, let's move on to this other news that we have, Joyce. Mm. RAM Malaysia says that business confidence in the country, as measured by the RAM Business Confidence Index for the first half of 2017, has dropped to its lowest since the index began tracking in the beginning of 2017.
Lowest level, okay. Well, what is the RAM Business Confidence Index? It's a quarterly survey of around 3,500 firms comprising large corporates as well as SMEs nationwide, looking at their performance expectations and operational intentions in the coming 6 months. So why is it so low right now? I guess, according to RAM Holdings, one of the key factors driving firms' sentiment this year is the weak economic prospects over the next 6 months.
I got to correct myself. This is the Business Confidence Index that's looking forward, but not looking in the past. Mm. So I guess they call up a bunch of business leaders and ask them what they feel, right? Can be a very subjective thing, feelings are.
Sentiments on the ground, how
sentiments,
they're feeling, yeah?
Yes, this is a good way of going out there and just feeling out the sentiment. So just looking at the chart here, I got a graph here, and I just want to echo Ong Kian Ming a little bit here, because if you look at the big picture and you look back at 12, 24 months, over the last 12, 24 months, you can see that while the headline is correct in saying that it's one of the lowest since the survey was started, it might sound a little bit sensationalist because you know, it's hovering between an index level of 55 and 57, all right? So there's not much volatility here. And as far as the first half of 2019 is concerned, it's just going back from 57 to 55, which was last experienced in the second half of 2017. But the effects are more pronounced in the SME subsector, where you have a much sharper fall. And in fact, the SME subsector has fallen, is the lowest since the index started, and it's fallen below 51 from a high of 54.
Well, you know, Julian, this whole negative sentiment, it's been ongoing for a couple of years now. Sometimes you hear business owners saying, oh, this year is going to be tough. We cannot pay out so much bonus. We cannot pay out so much increment because it's going to be tough. We need to brace ourselves for a tough year. That has been going on for a couple of years now. It's becoming quite like an old record already.
It's what they always say. Maybe they want to. Maybe they want to just prepare people's minds, or maybe they're going to enter some kind of a negotiation and they want lower prices. But it doesn't really tie in. I know that things are not very rosy right now, but it doesn't tie in with the number of IPOs that have come out this year or have been announced this year. And in fact, yesterday, DPI Holdings was listed.
And they did really well, DPI, I think.
They jumped. They just jumped up. The other listing this year was, actually not this, today. Today, there'll be another new one, Gagasan Nadi Chirgas, which is in the construction and utilities concession business. And we had a slew of listing announcements this year as well.
Proposed listings, one of the Mr. DIY. I think they're eyeing a 1.5 billion ringgit IPO. We also have Kim Hin Joo, Malaysia Berhad, which retails Mothercare. And ELC Brands in Malaysia, they're planning on IPO on the ACE market as well, but not sure when.
Of course, we also have YB Ong Ken Ming saying that the country would not get into recession.
Also, we have, speaking about IPO, Julia, I missed this, the Pelita Group as well is planning an IPO on the ACE market.
Oh, yes. That's your Nasikanda, if you've seen it. So, the Breakfast Grill is coming up after the news. I'm speaking to Datuk Mohamad Nizam Sairi, Deputy CEO of Tax Operation for the Inland Revenue Board. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.